Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We open up with a little final countdown. See what I did there? Because we're winding down here, ladies and gentlemen. We've made it through a whole semester without getting a complaint drawn against us or having someone tell us that our show needs an actual concept. So that's good. I'm very impressed with what we've done so far. So again, thank you for taking this journey with us. My name, as always, is Sam Anthony. Alongside me, we have Samuel Elizabeth Ferentz and William Robert Camilleri. So, on this final countdown week, me and Sam, we discussed before the show. We really, what do we want to talk about, Sam? I'm going to let you lead this, all right? I know you're excited about this.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
Okay, I have a few things
to say.
We're gonna let Sam start. Oh, all right, boy. We're gonna let him.
Okay, I'll correct everything that he says that's incorrect or hypocritical.
All right, Sam. You know what?
This is typical of a Steelers fan.
Is a challenge. Man, you know, you had to bring the Steelers fan thing into that.
I mean,
you know,
I wasn't even gonna go. Yeah, come on, man.
What? Low blow, dude. Low blow.
I mean, I wasn't even. I just wanted to, because I knew you guys would start talking, and I just wanted to hear it. I mean, I wasn't going to bring it up as hard if the Steelers lost in grade. That was a rough game by the Steelers. I did want to point out that I did say that they'd either lose to the Cowboys or the Seahawks away.
And you did, in fact, say that.
Are they playing the Rams away?
They're going to kill them.
At Los Angeles?
So you're saying the Eagles are going to kill the Rams?
Yes.
In Los Angeles?
Yes.
They lost to a wild.
Are you willing to put money on that?
Yes.
$20 right now?
No.
All right.
I don't have money.
$10.
I'm broke.
But
buy me dinner at Romo's.
Guys, get a room. because you think about it, Sam brought up a good point about the sixth seed. Sam, you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So, all right. And granted, to me, the big difference in this Eagles-Seahawks game was that it's in Seattle. And so for a potential playoff matchup, it would be in Philadelphia, which to me is a huge difference. I mean, you're talking about, in terms of win probability, probably a 10% shift towards the Eagles. But to me, that Eagles offense that was so good just looked terrible.
I wouldn't go as far and say terrible. I'd say there were three or four plays that really altered the turnout of the game. I think Carson Wentz had an off game, which, I mean, everybody has. So I don't know. It was frustrating to see them play like that, but I don't think that's going to be now suddenly the trend. After starting 10-1, I mean they're 10-2. They're still the number one team in the NFL.
that's also not true. But the Vikings are the number one team.
Really?
Yeah, the Eagles are the 2 seed based on conference record.
Are they both undefeated?
Well, the
because the Eagles haven't lost
in conference.
Yeah,
that's not true. They lost to the Seahawks.
Oh, sorry, I meant in division. Sorry.
Yeah, they have a better conference record. That puts them on top because one of the Vikings' losses was. Pittsburgh. They have no conference losses. You have
one.
So on that technicality. But I mean, I'm not saying the Eagles aren't good. All right, let's be clear. I'm not saying the Eagles aren't a good team because, like you said, Carson Wentz still threw 348 yards and proved that, you know, he's a really good quarterback and probably the future of the NFL for years to come. But again, you know, Two fumbles by Wentz, one which was lost. You know, and they only got sacked he only got sacked three times. I mean, only one interception, which for Wentz, you know, is still uncharacteristic, but you're right, not terrible.
I think this is the first time all season they didn't put up at least, I think it was 21 points.
Yeah. And the big thing to me was the best part of that Eagles offense has been their balance. You know, they've been able to pass and run, and they had 98 rushing yards.
Yeah.
26 carries for 98 yards. I mean, effectively, they were shut down. I mean, and they did a good job of shutting down Seattle rushing. Seattle only had 101 yards rushing. It was just that when it came to converting, you know, Seattle did it better. And then, you know, just timely turnovers. But
I think Mike Davis for the Seahawks did really well.
Yeah.
That was a nice little surprise there.
Yeah. So this is what me and Sam were discussing beforehand, is there's only one team this season that the Philadelphia Eagles have beat that has a winning record. And that is the Carolina Panthers. And besides that, they don't have another win against a team that's above 500. So that's the question mark. And you have to agree. And again, I'm not saying the Eagles aren't a good team, but I'm saying going into the playoffs as a team that could be the one seed and a very young team as well, there are question marks.
See, I think this is interesting because if they win that game, you don't talk about this.
You're correct, but they didn't win the game.
Yeah, but I feel like it was a lot closer than you're making it seem. Like, they're not suddenly this team that's, you know, with the teams that are 7-6.
But these are the games that you have to win if you're the best team in the league. You know what I'm saying?
But if this was one of the games you guys predicted that they would lose and then they did, why is that now suddenly?
Again, hold on. I think you're taking this as the Eagles are a good team. I'm just saying that the Eagles may not be as good as everyone puts them out to be. I'm not saying that they're a bad team. I'm not saying
I'm not saying.
But
that.
you're taking it like I'm
no.
saying that
you're the, starting to the become the an Castle, Eagles fan now.
I didn't want to send it that way, but I think you're making me out like that. I'm saying the Castle's crumbling.
No,
I'm just saying that there's a chink in the armor. I think is what I'm trying to say. You know what I'm saying? Is that there are weaknesses that the Eagles have. Because truly, if they were so great, because again, Seattle's a good team and they're really great at home, but they're nowhere near what they used to be.
No.
So to me, that's something that's important to note.
But I mean, I don't see anything that I didn't already know. I mean, and granted, maybe it is because I watch the team a little closer than, you know, just the average NFL fan, especially for you guys who don't actively follow them. But, well, I mean, I think I went into the season expecting our secondary to be like that all year. I don't really know. I didn't watch most of the game. I was in Yorktown, and whoever's computer they were playing the game off of went into sleep mode so I could hear the game, but there was a snowman on the screen. And I'm like, that's not football.
That's fun.
So I didn't. And besides that, I saw like the first part, like half of the first quarter. But so I don't know exactly what happened. It just seemed like they couldn't score, which it was typical of last season. And like,
which again, you know, that's what I'm saying is that going into this game, the Eagles were the highest scoring team in the league. They averaged 32 points per game, and they came out and they put up 10.
I thought it was, oh yeah, it was 10.
It was 10. And was a lot of that 10, was yeah. just being unable to convert in the red zone.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, turnovers. That was another big one. And to me, again, it was a very below expectation game for me, for the Philadelphia Eagles.
I mean, I agree.
Because this was one of those where you know, season defining games where you go into.
I wouldn't go as far.
Because you go into
that.
Seattle and
I'd
you solidify why you're the best team.
I'd say the Rams would be a bigger game than Seattle.
I think they need to win
because
the next
Rams
game
are a better team.
See. I agree with you that the Rams are a better team, but at the same time, in terms of experience, teams that have been there before, you're talking about Russell Wilson. I mean, I'm more intimidated right now by Russell Wilson than Jared Goff. And that's who won the game for Seattle.
That's
was
true.
Russell Wilson.
Yeah, that's also true.
So, and you know, Jared Goff's still a young quarterback, and that's an exciting matchup because it's the number one overall pick versus the number two overall pick of last year. But I still think that in terms of the Rams, and part of their success is that nobody saw them coming. You know, they kind of came out of the woodworks. And it's very esque of the Dallas Cowboys last year. You know, because you see Todd Gurley's having a career year. You're seeing Jared Goff have a career year. And I know that, you know, Sean McVay is a great coach for LA. But I think that, again, there's flaws there with LA that you can't see. And Seattle is a team that's been there time and time again. And every time you try to count Seattle out, this is the time of year where they really step it up. Mm. And they showed that against one of the best teams in the league.
Two things. One, I did watch probably a good portion of the first half and into the second half. One thing that was really frustrating was, like, the possession was almost – it was almost annoying because, I mean, they had 10 drives each, and that might not sound like a lot, but, like, it was it seemed like it'd go on forever because no one would score because they were in so much possession.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't running up-tempo as much. Two, I think it's – I didn't realize. I thought the Rams were a game after the next game, but the Rams are the next game.
This week, yeah.
And I think that coupled with this loss is going to be the defining point.
Exactly.
I think I didn't see Zach Ertz's injury. I didn't know he was on concussion protocol, but I mean, it's just going to be that type of stuff where they have to overcome it.
Mm-hmm.
I
mean, they've played without him before, so that's
yeah.
Is that something?
And you know how the yeah. Eagles, you know. Statistically good against the run,
mm-hmm.
Todd Gurley.
Yeah,
I'd like to see that matchup. This is this
are
is
they
one of
are they still the number one run defense?
I will check that out.
Because how many yards they gave up, Sam?
101.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, this is the most important question. Is down the stretch, there are two games I want to keep an eye out for, and the most important one is next weekend at LA.
Mm-hmm.
The two divisional ones to me won't matter because the Giants season is over, and by the time you get to Dallas at the end of the year, their season will be over as well. Oakland, on the other hand, in week 16, in a three-way current tie in the division, Oakland will be fighting for their playoff lives. So those two games define to me
Christmas Day night
what the Eagles will be.
I'm going to be at that game. I'm so excited.
And the whole time we're going to get Snapchats. It'd be like, look, I'm like,
there he is.
It's Carson Wentz.
I mean, we talked about the Eagles' schedule, and the first half wasn't – can we agree that the first half wasn't as strong, but the second half is just brutal? Like, they got a brutal second half of the schedule.
The Eagles?
I mean they have three hard opponents.
It might not look like – at the beginning of the season, it might not have looked as hard, but, like, now that we're in the final stretch here – I don't know.
I mean, I don't think anybody really predicted the Rams to
be good. No, but everyone thought everyone thought Dallas Philly could be, you know, for the division,
mm-hmm.
and it won't.
Because he couldn't just take a suspension the first 6 weeks.
Yeah. Well, also, I mean, you know, Eagles would have to lose out, and Dallas would have to win out. And if you guys lost your last five, then I would definitely be right that the Eagles were not the best team in the NFL.
Yeah. And I would go and curl up under a rock and stay there until next season. But
that's sad. So yes, that is where I stand on the Philadelphia Eagles, because you look at people, you know, again, you can go back into the argument all day of that they have only beat one team with a winning record, but you have to look at the way they played the teams without the winning record.
Exactly.
31-3 win, 37-9 win, 51-23 win, 33-10 win, you know, 34-24, 34-7. Everyone's going to choose to look at the New York win, which was 23-24.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have to remember that was early in the season.
Yep.
That was before Odell Beckham Jr. got hurt.
Yep.
That was back when the Giants still had hope on their season.
Mm-hmm.
And then everyone looked at that LA Chargers loss at the beginning, like that was a really bad loss, which turns out to be incorrect because the LA Chargers have figured it out.
It was a bad loss at the time.
It was a bad win at the time.
For them, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, that was the Chargers, you know, one of their last losses as of recently, and they've won, you know, six of seven since then. So to me, yeah, I mean, that's really was the turning point was after that loss, but yeah, that was a bad loss. It's not. So again, that could quickly change to, you know, playing, you know, beating two teams with a winning record. My point was through all of this was just that going after this loss to Seattle, you know, it shouldn't be it's not a confidence breaking loss, but there should be concern.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the Pittsburgh Steelers. The fact that the Pittsburgh Steelers
Good
have
Lord.
An inability
can we talk about how bad.
Just hold on, just real quick. I would like to thank you guys because I was expecting the typical Aaron Sims response of the Eagles are now terrible and the Steelers are the greatest team.
Will,
in
you got to understand.
Well, I mean, they are.
I love you, buddy. I'm going to give you some flack, but I'm not stupid.
They're holding hands right now, by the way. Yes. Will and Sam.
It was a moment.
Sam Ferentz specifically. Holding hands, looking deep into each other's eyes.
It was
eyes.
Like our moment when we made eye contact, like, for the first five straight minutes of the show, and Sam yelled at us for...
Oh, yeah, we were having a moment.
We had a moment.
It's fine.
But I mean, speaking of, can we just take a second, man? Come on, the Steelers, what are you doing?
This is the second week in a row. Did they win on a field goal again?
Yeah, they won on a field goal last second, and look who's wearing a Steelers jersey.
Isn't this the second week in a row they did that? Yeah, because last week it was a 53-yarder to
but
win it.
But, man, oh, man. I mean, I know it was... Okay, first, I hope Ryan Shazier was okay.
Yeah, I didn't see that. I didn't see most of the game.
It was... What happened was, I mean, he led with his crown.
So, did you see the update with him, by the way?
I did not.
So, he will not need surgery.
Good.
Which is amazing. You know, we wish him nothing but the best. And there are people that are talking about him coming back for week 15 against the Patriots.
I mean, I didn't see him move his legs at all during that whole process, so I got really scared, but...
Yeah, the diagnosis right now is a spinal contusion, is what they've seen.
If that's all he comes away with, I mean...
That's incredible.
God bless him.
And you got to, I mean, because that was one of the scariest things I've ever seen. And I just want to, I want to hear your thoughts. I know Will didn't see it. Will, I encourage you to look it up right now if you can.
The
Juju Smith-Schuster hit? Oh, trust me, I've seen it.
All right, because to me, and I love Juju, but shame on him.
Yeah.
After, if nothing had happened in that game, and, you know, again, and you lay him out and you taunt him, because it's a rivalry. That's different. But to me, after, you know, the tone that was set with, you know, another linebacker on your team, you know, hitting someone, having to go to the hospital, may not be able to walk again, and you're taunting, shame on you.
Yeah.
Because that was not the time nor the place to do that. And I don't care. I saw there was a GoFundMe to pay Juju's fine. Shame on everyone who doesn't realize how wrong that is.
And I just want to say, if you look at it, like, because I heard about Ryan Shazier, but I didn't see the injury. I didn't, like, I had no connection to the game at all. I didn't watch it. But I saw that hit. And that hit was insane. On its own, individually, by it, if you don't look at, you know, what you were talking about, that hit was incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, it was completely, what was the part that was illegal? Was it the taunting
helmet.
Or was,
no.
oh,
They're, they both got called, but the taunting was the one that was enforced.
Okay.
I mean,
And what he led was it he led with his helmet or what? Or he
yeah,
hit
there was
head
there
first?
Was helmet to helmet contact.
Okay.
I mean, the hit wasn't dirty, like it wasn't malicious in its intent. It was just a fast play.
If he had hit with his shoulder, it would have probably he wouldn't have gotten fined. It was the helmet to helmet hit.
Yeah. That I mean, but
and that'll
like
happen in the style of play. It's
that's
very
true.
Physical play.
Mm-hmm. But it's the and those types of hits I feel like are becoming rarer and rarer in this league, which, I mean, is probably a good thing considering all of the brain injuries we now know about that come from those types of hits. However, you got to get – again, I'm not trying to say this against what happened earlier in the game or anything, but, like, I got excited watching that just because it – like,
and
you don't
get,
see big hits a lot. But, you know, I did see him kind of – like, they cut away before they showed – whatever he did to taunt him, but you kind of like see he like just kind of stands up and looks at him, and
that
is what's the bigger thing, I think, is the fact that you made you did that to somebody while somebody on your own team.
Yeah, and we don't know what words were said, but no, that to me is just it's disrespectful to the game. You have to understand kind of the tone of what was going on there because it was very. I mean, just very energy sapping. You know, even after this win, I mean, I was way more excited about the win against the Packers the week before because, you know, with this one, all I was thinking about was, you know, and that's all the players probably think about is your guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is your guy okay? Mm-hmm. You know, you went out, you did your job, you won, great. Now you can go see if your guy's okay.
Yeah.
And so shame on Smith-Schuster because it made it, you know, didn't make it seem as bad. Yeah. Because you're out there taunting people.
And doing the same thing.
Yeah.
And, it sucks because if... And it's not even like you can really pull much, drive out of Shazier's injury, as a player. Because it's not like, Perfect went out and clipped him or something and broke his leg. Like, that you could go out and say, they did this to our guy, so let's go kill them. It's just kind of like something that happened.
Yeah.
And, it's scary, and you just kind of have to take it and go. And it just kind of, I don't know. I agree. It changes the dynamic of the football game.
It's really frustrating that the history between the Steelers and the Bengals is not the best. I think we can all agree on that.
Yes.
There have been some injuries that, a little questionable. But this one, it's frustrating that we had a history behind us, because with this injury to Ryan Shazier, against any other team, I don't think would have been, as bad. The Bengals had no... They had no part in it. He led with his head. It's not the Bengals' fault. Mm-hmm. And because of that rivalry, I think that added a little extra to it. And that's where everything else, came from.
Because they probably wanted it. Would probably be better in their minds if it was their fault, because mm-hmm. then they can go and say, you did this to our guy, and we're going to make you pay for it. But I don't want to say it was him, but it was him.
Yeah.
So this is where it leads to another debate. All right, after all this that happened last night, you're looking at the week before, the day before, with that hit from Rob Gronkowski, the post game play, big Rob Gronkowski comes down after play and just tries to spear someone with his body, just pounds him afterwards.
Mm.
And a lot of the debate comes is, after all this, where you see, what kind of stuff can happen from that post-play stuff, or even just, during play, should have Gronkowski got more than one game? Because that's the debate. I don't know if you guys saw that hit from Gronkowski.
I did.
I only saw it once.
It wasn't as malicious, but it was very, it was completely post-play.
I don't know if I would say it wasn't malicious. I think if he didn't choose to do it, it wouldn't have happened. Because honestly, it's pretty funny. He
almost just threw himself
on
top of him.
He stutter stepped and kind of built himself up and then just dove on him. And I think
Will's replay of the, he just did a mini replay in his scene. It looked really
I shook my head and then threw it. But no, it was that stutter step build up makes me laugh every time I see it. But which is really bad considering what he did. But, it's not even something you can be we need to avoid this. No, you just have to be a better person.
Yeah, because to me, what bothers me about this play, and I wish people on the radio could see this, but. Just the fact that he kind of goes at his head and he misses, but he's hurt after the play as well because of that hit he took from Gronkowski. I'm glad he got suspended. I don't know if he deserves more than a game. I'm not the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, if this happened, if the Shazier injury happens on Sunday,
mm-hmm.
and the perfect injury happens on Sunday, and this happens on Monday, Gronkowski gets two or three games.
I agree.
And it's just the tone you have to set, because when you're seeing people get hurt,
mm-hmm.
and you're seeing this post-play stuff that you have to kind of stop, and the fact that, Gronkowski didn't even get... Gronkowski should have been ejected for that.
He should have.
They should have, because I don't understand the NFL rule where it's, two unsportsmanlike and you're gone.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically saying, hey, I have the leeway to do whatever I want.
Yeah. At least once.
And then I can get tossed.
I feel like now there's there's so much more than unsportsmanlike conduct. Like, I feel like there are so many more things that have developed that fall into that that could almost be their own penalty. And it's I don't think they don't have targeting in the NFL, do they? Is that just in college?
It's just helmet to helmet, yeah.
Just helmet to helmet. Like, because I think if that's a college game, that kid is ejected
targeting. Gone.
I mean, gone right away simply because of the nature of what happened. But also, like, that penalty wouldn't have been unsportsmanlike. It would have been targeting and a late hit and whatever else comes with it. But I don't. Was that the? Do you know what play that was on? Was that the one where Tom Brady was picked off?
Yeah, because it was underthrown to Gronk.
I think, and that was his defender. That was the guy that was blocking him. If you look, that Gronkowski is. I'm not offering an explanation or anything, but it looks like Gronkowski has held that entire play up until that point. So like, I can understand why he was frustrated. But I don't think you need to go as far as I'm going to try and hurt you because you committed a penalty on me and they didn't catch it. Like, there are penalties that are committed every play. Like, you just kind of have to take it as it is and kind of suck it up and get back and get ready for the next play. Like, and there are moments where where everyone loses control. But, like, I don't know. It's a bigger stage. You need to kind of... If you need to go freak out on the sidelines, go freak out on the sidelines. But don't take it out on another player in that manner.
Yeah. I just had – I had two more things to draw away from the Bengals game, if you guys don't mind me talking a little bit more. Holy cow. Did you guys watch that play that where Le'Veon – I don't know if it was like a catch and run. I didn't see the beginning of it. Where he skirted along the sideline, and the Bengals defenders kind of just watched him go because they thought he went out of bounds. You guys see that one?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, come on, man. That's my come on, man moment. And let me get your opinion on this because I've watched the Steelers for, I'd say, a good amount of years. And I've watched the people they play. How, in terms of underrated quarterbacks, where do you think Andy Dalton ranks on that list?
Great fantasy option.
Yeah, I don't consider, in terms of great quarterbacks, Andy Dalton in the conversation.
Let me read you statistics. 7 years with the Bengals. 25,000 yards, 162 touchdowns, 89 interceptions, and he has a 90 quarterback rating. And I mean, to me, he's played in all but three games in 2015 he missed. And that was probably his best year. I mean, he had almost 3,300 yards, 25 touchdowns, and 7 interceptions. Imagine if he didn't miss those three games. And then the next year, he had an over 100 QB rating. But, I mean, the next year he had 4,200 yards, 18 touchdowns, and 8 interceptions. I mean, watching him play against the Steelers, he always does good. I mean –
against the Steelers, yes.
I mean, he
against
threw
the rest of the NFL,
234 and two touchdowns.
Not so much.
But I mean, when you look at mediocre teams with a decent quarterback, I think Andy Dalton has to rank up there somewhere.
To me, though, all right, this is the number. There's two numbers that stick out to me.
Okay.
89 interceptions.
Okay.
33 fumbles, and 35 interceptions when throwing to AJ Green.
Okay.
You know, like,
those are really odd. That last one was a really odd statistic.
Yeah, 35 interceptions when throwing to AJ Green. They talked about it before the Monday night game last night. That's the most between any quarterback wide receiver duo. And to me, if you're a great quarterback and you have a receiver like AJ Green and you throw 35 picks while throwing to AJ Green, because I promise you that number is not even close between Antonio Brown and Ben Roethlisberger, and they have the fifth most receptions between a wide receiver and a quarterback in the history of the NFL. And to me, that's the difference between what makes Roethlisberger great and what makes Andy Dalton very average, is that you're right. In these, well, plays us well, except when the season's on the line. Because what happens every time it's a week 16, week 17 matchup, and Pittsburgh plays Cincinnati, and the winner gets the division. Andy Dalton falls apart. Andy Dalton chokes. Think about, I mean, the only example I can disagree with is when they played the most recent time in the playoffs, because that was Vontaze Burfict that lost the game for them, and the defense with all the penalties. Which, by the way, did you see that they set a franchise record last night, the Bengals, for penalty yardage? They've never had so many. They had 173 yards in penalties.
No way. Wow. I did not see that.
I would say, for lack of a better description, it was very Robert Morris-esque. we were all there for that Duquesne game. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. Andy Dalton, to be fair, first couple seasons didn't have a great season. But over the past three or four seasons, maybe even five, you could argue, he has been on
He's been very average.
He's been getting better.
But he should already be better because he's...
That's why I'm saying he's a very... 30. That's why I'm saying he's a very good average quarterback. Yes. That's how I started out my argument.
Yeah, and I mean, I think if he were to just, like, randomly one year win a Super Bowl, I think he would be very comparable to Eli Manning.
He's very much...
Or Joe Flacco.
Yeah, that's what I was just about. He's a very much Joe Flacco. Where did Joe Flacco go? He's completely flown off the radar. No pun intended, like, with the Ravens.
Like, of the average quarterbacks, Eli Manning is probably the best. As I like to say, he's the greatest average quarterback of all time. I think you could throw Tony Romo's name in there. And Joe Flacco, Andy Dalton. I mean, any of those kind of
Honestly, I'd put Tony Romo ahead of Eli Manning.
Really?
Yes. The only thing Eli Manning has is that he would get to the playoffs and he would be really great. But besides that, if I had to pick between a quarterback in the regular season, I would pick Tony Romo over Eli Manning. Because if Tony Romo had a team around him where he didn't have to, you know, put together the game-winning drive in the fourth quarter so often.
Every game.
Then, you know, Tony Romo could have had a really great career.
True.
If I were in the NFL, I'd want to be a really good average quarterback. That's...
You know who I want to be if I'm a quarterback? I want to be Russell Wilson. Because Russell Wilson never has to put up 400 yards passing. Russell Wilson has to put up 230 yards, throw two or three touchdowns, and as long as he doesn't throw any interceptions, the Seattle Seahawks are going to win because that defense is so good and they can run the ball enough
to make something happen. I don't know if this is different now, but coming into last week, he was the team's leading rusher.
Yeah, exactly.
He was averaging, I think it was like something like 4.3 yards per game, yards per attempt, which was like over a yard more than their closest player.
And they don't have a consistent runner.
That's also true.
But to me, like, you know, you never go into the coming out of the weekend talking about how amazing Russell Wilson was. Wilson is just, he's good, but he's not great.
He does have his spurts where he might throw for three.
Yes.
If we're lucky, 400 yards.
Exactly.
He's the kid where the 4.0 is expected. And I feel like some of the, like, Eli Manning was, he gets the 4.0 and he gets, you know, a Ferrari.
Mm-hmm.
And, like... Like, you know what I'm talking about. Like, Russell Wilson is good at his job, and he does it, and nobody talks about him. Nobody talks about him in a good light, but nobody also talks about him at the same time in a bad light. So, whereas Eli Manning, he does something great, and the world explodes, but he does something bad, like getting benched after 210 consecutive starts, and they also really point that out.
Eli Manning is a very, very much Chuck Bass for any of you gossip girls out there.
That's just you.
Addison's been watching Gossip Girl recently.
To change it from Sam's being whipped.
Yeah, we're going to let that go.
We're going to go to the, I mean, unless we want to talk about how much of a girl you are.
We'll move on. My middle name's Elizabeth for a reason.
That was good. I appreciated that. All right, so. I'm going to go through. So 538, the website does their, you know, projections statistically on who's going to make the playoffs.
538, what's that?
It's a analytics website. It's owned by ESPN, and they give probabilities every week of, like, who's most likely to make the playoffs.
I like that.
So teams that are essentially a lock. So to me, teams that are essentially a lock are 95% and higher. I feel like that's fair.
I agree.
And the teams go like this. Steelers, Patriots, Vikings, Eagles, Jaguars, Saints, Rams. Those teams are locks. Teams that are basically in, but things can still go wrong. So that's between 90 and 80.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the Ravens, which they have an 85% chance to make the playoffs.
They're 7-5 right now, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, the AFC is just so bad. Then you have Seattle. And then it's just a toss-up. But on that note as well, we're talking Super Bowl odds. With a whopping 29% chance to win the Super Bowl is the New England Patriots. Now, coming in at 17% right now is the Minnesota Vikings with Case Keenum. You have the Pittsburgh Steelers at 15%, and you have the Eagles at 12%. And to me, besides the Vikings, a lot of those numbers make sense. And I know the Vikings are on an 8-game winning streak, but I just don't know how I feel about that team with, I mean, and I'm impressed. After watching them beat the Falcons, I'm impressed. After watching them beat Detroit, I'm impressed. After watching them beat LA, I'm impressed. The last 3 weeks have been very impressive from Minnesota. But I just, besides that, going into that, I want you to look at the teams because they started 2-2, and there was a loss against Detroit, and there was a loss against Pittsburgh. And then it was, you know, they beat the Bears by 3. They beat the Packers by 13. And I believe, I don't know if that was when Aaron Rodgers got hurt or not. I think it might have been, yeah, it was the game Aaron Rodgers got hurt. So half that game was without Aaron Rodgers. You then beat the Ravens. You then beat the Browns. You then beat the Redskins. I think you can have the same argument with this team that you did with the Philadelphia Eagles, is how good are they really? And, you know, Case Keenum has been great, but the thing I have a hard time believing with Case Keenum is, where is this coming from? Because before this, he was a perfectly average backup quarterback around the NFL. Where did this come from? Why is it at age 29 that Case Keenum is suddenly really good at playing quarterback?
Why is Adam Thielen all of a sudden really good at wide receiver?
I don't know.
Like, I mean, granted, I know. I wonder what it would be like if Dalvin Cook was still, like, if Dalvin Cook didn't get injured, how would that affect their season? Because, I mean, Dalvin Cook did.
Oh, he was phenomenal. He was
really
phenomenal.
Good for the first few weeks he was there.
Yeah.
I mean, that also, I wonder how much that strengthens the opinion that if you have a, I mean, granted, you might have a good quarterback, but if you have, like, good support around him, like a good running back, a good wide receiver than that, then it just kind of falls into place because it's kind of like the argument good O-line, good running back type thing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much that gives.
Yeah, so to me, yeah, to me it's wait and see against Minnesota. Their next three matchups are Carolina, Cincinnati, Green Bay, and it's at Carolina next week. That will be telling to me.
Yes, that's I'd say that's pretty similar to Eagles Seahawks.
I would agree because Carolina is probably the other wild card team there, and if Carolina comes out and gets that win, because they're fighting for the division still, they can still jump the Saints. It just they need to win the rest of their games. But I'm also intrigued. This is the one I'm most intrigued for, but this is also because I'm a Steelers fan. Is Patriots Steelers 15? That is to me make or break defining. Because one, if Pittsburgh wants to go to the Super Bowl, they need to make it go through Heinz Field, not Gillette Stadium. If it's a conference championship in Gillette Stadium, the Pittsburgh Steelers, quote me on this, will lose. If they go and they win at Heinz Field week 15, they will go and win at Heinz Field in the conference championship game. That is how important that is, because you cannot beat Tom Brady at Gillette Stadium. It does not happen in the playoffs, and it won't happen in the playoffs. So the Steelers need to win that game. And to me, you got to throw everything at them, and you can't have a game like Cincinnati. You can't have a game like Green Bay. You need to have, you know, a game like you did against Tennessee. And I don't know if that's going to happen.
Yeah. And, I mean, I wouldn't even put them at a lock to win at if it's at Heinz. I think it does greatly increase their chances, but it's also the Patriots, and it's also the Steelers and the Patriots.
Yeah, I agree.
And just quickly before we wrap up, I can start the last last thoughts, because it is a Tuesday here at Robert Morris.
Women's hockey rankings.
Women's hockey rankings. Right. We fell one spot to number 10.
Which makes sense, because we lost makes to Mercy. Sense. We're lucky. Honestly, we're lucky we're in the rankings, in
yeah,
my opinion.
I mean, it's just because there's nobody else. Because Northeastern is the next closest team. And
hey, Northeastern beat Wisconsin.
That's true, but they only have 3 votes.
Yeah.
It is interesting to note that 1 point separates 10 and 8.
To me, that's very, like, it shows Robert Morris can finally jump past
yes.
9.
And if I don't know what their schedule is like
their
this
next, you want to know what their next game is?
Tell them.
Against number 4, Colgate.
Oh, at Colgate. Man.
So here's the thing going into, you know.
And it's one game at Colgate. It's not
one
two.
One game at
right.
Colgate. We go and win at Colgate. Can we jump over number 7, Ohio State?
Guess we'll have to wait and see.
Oh, Ohio State dropped to 7. Oh, it's going to be a great week for hockey.
All right, so everyone better be tuning in. That one might be one that I'll actually pay money to watch.
Hey, and there's Robert Morris Men's playing Penn State at PPG Paints on Friday.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Be excited. I'll be on duty, so I will be here on campus. Come visit me in my room. It's fine. Before we go, I'd like one thing from you gentlemen.
Hmm.
Since we did this at the beginning of the year, I feel like it's apt that we do this now. Super Bowl picks. Who's going to the Super Bowl right now? Will, you're going to lead us off.
I still think the Eagles are going to the Super Bowl.
And who are they playing?
The Steetriots. I have no idea. Honestly, that AFC Championship game is a complete 50-50 toss-up
oh, yeah.
to me.
Oh, yeah.
So, I feel like it's going to be one of those teams. I just don't know who. I kind of want it to be the Patriots more, so I don't have to drive all the way home to watch the game, because if it's Eagles, Steelers, I'm not staying here.
What? You don't want to be in enemy territory?
No. I deal with it too much with the Flyers and the Penguins. I'm not doing it in the biggest game of the year.
All right. Well, my pick is the Steelers and the Eagles. I think it's going to be Steelers-Eagles. I'll stand by that, despite the fact that I said the Buccaneers were going to the NFC Championship game.
R.I.P. It's okay. We all have those years.
We all have those hopes. I got Steelers-Eagles still. If there were one team to change that on either side of the field, it would be the New Orleans Saints.
I would say that. I would say New Orleans and New England, to me, are the two tosses. I don't think L.A. is ready yet. They're a young team. And don't count out the Seahawks.
Don't count out old Drew Brees.
Yeah, and that running back game, incredible.
Oh, man.
And
Who would have thought getting rid of Adrian Peterson would fire up your running backs like that.
And where did Alvin Kamara go?
Oh, no clue. None.
Was it an FCS school?
Hopefully.
Oh, I hope.
I mean,
Robert
geez.
Morris.
Yeah,
hey, you think, what are the odds? Robert
Morris, what
are the odds? What are the odds that LiAngelo Ball comes to Robert Morris?
Oh.
Oh, man.
All right,
I'm sending my son to
he went to Tennessee.
Suburban Pittsburgh.
University of Tennessee.
Who?
Alvin Kamara.
Oh. All right. Well, it's good thing he got out of there now. All right.
On that note.
We're way over. On that note, this is Sam Anthony signing off. I love you, Mrs. Ferentz.
This is Sam Ferentz Actuary signing off. Go Colonials. Love you, Mom.
I love her more.
This is Will Camilleri signing off. Have fun with finals week, Robert Morris.
We got one more. We got one more show, so don't count us out yet.
Yeah.
Keep listening. Tell all your friends, all the 4 listeners that we have. Good night.